You listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca. From Seattle, Ian Furness joins us once again from 93.3. Ian, how you doing, man? Welcome back to the show.
I'm good, Jason. How are you, buddy? How are things?
Things are pretty good, man. It's a great time of year. So much going on, I'm sure, in Seattle. You guys are waiting. You got playoffs starting on Saturday. So for MLB, that'll be pretty electric. We'll talk about that before we end. But give me an update. So I know Dunn, I don't think, is playing. McCann's not ready. What about Montour and Stevenson? Are all four of those guys out?
Yeah, they're all out tonight. I'm just looking at the lineup. I'm at the rink now, just getting ready for our broadcast next week, I guess, on TV. But Beniers, Eberle, Catton is a line. Wright, okay. Leonard, and Schwartz, Gaudreau, Tolvin, and Marshmint, Mulgaard, Newman, and Cartier. So that's probably, what is it? Maybe Winterton won't be here. There's a little battle for the last forward spot with Cartier, Mulgaard. So that's kind of a little battle right there. I think Catton's going to be here. So defense is kind of lean tonight. Oldavainen's playing, and Mahura's probably in for a while, depending on what the injuries are with some of these guys with Ryker Evans. So, yeah, I mean, it's DeCord's in goal. So, I mean, it's probably maybe two-thirds of a lineup for Seattle tonight.
Okay. Yeah, well, Ryker Evans, they announced that he's out 6 to 8 weeks with an upper body injury. Yep. What about McCann, Montour, Stevenson, and Dunn? Are those guys expected to be ready for next week's season opener?
Yeah, I think most of those guys will be ready. Dunn, we're not sure. He got an upper body injury. Took a cross-check from Seattle's favorite player, Pospisil, the other night at Calgary. just an absolute punk, this kid. I mean, honestly, Jason, I don't know how this kid survives in the NHL. Like, Adam Larson, you know Adam well. Like, he was outspoken about it. Like, it's a preseason game. The guy, he sent Dunn to the sidelines and the injured list 2 years ago with a really bad hit. Dunn's been looking for him ever since. He had a skirmish in front, and the kid cross-checked Dunn right in the head. Knocked him out of the game, I should say. And so we're waiting to see what happens there. I can't wait till December 16th when they come back here. It's going to be ugly. It almost got ugly the other night, but Dunn, I think, is still day-to-day. The only guy that's out long-term that we know is Kaapo Kakko. He's got a broken hand or thumb or something, so he's out for six. So him and Ryker are out for 6 weeks. So, those are the two big injuries. McCann skating. Chandler, I think, is close. I come from the NFL world, too, a lot of times. This preseason is just a waste of time, I think. It's just a waste of time. Especially, just an absolute waste of time.
Dude, if the Oilers are playing 8 preseason, you guys only have 6. This is the last year, buddy. Yeah. The last year. Next year, there's only a maximum of 4.
We go to 4.
And a maximum of 2 per veteran. So, God, it'll be like Christmas time in September. The season will start a little bit later.
I looked at the Oilers lineup tonight. It's like, boy,
Tell us what it is, because it's like secret here in Edmonton. They didn't release it.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, so tell us who it is. Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
All right, hang on. I hope I don't get in trouble for this.
No, but, you won't get
I mean, they gave it to us, right?
Yeah, no, they gave it to you now. It's fine.
Well, I mean, Henrik, Savoy, Mangiapane.
Yeah.
Frederick, Kapanen, Janmark.
Okay.
Lazar, Hudson, Samansky. I don't know who 57 is. How do you pronounce his name?
James. Mahara. Yeah, the young guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's with Hamlin and Clattenburg.
Yeah, Clattenburg. You know what, buddy? Sorry. That guy, he plays an honest game. He won't cheap shot guys, but he'll fire guys up. But he's an good, honest pest. But he doesn't cheap shot guys. But he'll probably fight someone. He's an old school. He's kind of like a WHL player, I'd say that.
I don't know who he's going to fight in this lineup in Seattle. I'm trying to think. Nurse, Stetcher, they're not together, but I'm just looking at normal, regular guys. Kulak's playing.
Okay.
Yeah, Pickard's starting in goal. So,
we knew none of the big guys were going for sure. I think Edmonton will have more of their roster going on Friday night in Vancouver. They got a little illness, so they kept some guys back home because of that.
Yeah.
How much pressure do you think there is on the crack. And here's the thing. I know you covered the WHL for a long time. You know a lot of the prospects, yeah. Gavin McKenna. Like, I believe if there's one organization that could really use Gavin McKenna, I think it's Seattle. They got some young guys, Capo Cal. I like Wright. You know, you got Beniers. You know, Niemann's coming right. and played really well. But, like, Gavin McKenna yeah. is, like, a legit guy who I think is going to be a first-line player in the NHL. I'm not going to use the G word because I think it's ridiculous to put that much pressure on a young kid. But when right, I look at Seattle, they don't like they're in purgatory right now. They're not good enough to be a real contender. And, you know, unless they get some injuries, they're probably not bad enough to be a bottom five team. So where do they come out?
Right. Well, I think that's the hard thing, Jason, is that the way they've built this thing, it's, you know, when they went to the playoffs 3 years ago, is, you know, this whole depth lineup thing that they used. And it worked, you know, but you had a bunch of guys that had, I think what you had that year, not career years, you had a bunch of guys that played up to what you would expect. Like if you say, hey, this guy's going to be a 22 goal scorer, he scored 22 or 23 that year. If this guy's going to be a 60 point guy, that's what he was. And everyone kind of played to the level that was expected. And they also had this historic shooting percentage that year, right? So like everything seemed to be going in the net. And so those things helped. And they got decent goaltending most of the year from Grubby, and Martin Jones was a good backup for them. And so they, you know, they got into the playoffs. They also were a really good defensive team. And then the last 2 years, the structure was off. Haxall gets fired. Bylsma was just a horror show in terms of, you know, structure, especially the defensive end. The power play was awful and they fell apart. But I think you're right. I think you're kind of in that weird middle class right now where, you know, in this division, you're probably, you know, 4, 5, 6 is where you are. At best 4, at worst probably 6, unless you have a bunch of injuries. And so, yeah, that's maybe you can contend for a playoff spot. Maybe you're in it, you know, after the Olympic break. I think that's the hope. And I could make a strong argument that they'll be in it till the end and maybe even a playoff team, but they got to have a lot of things go right for them, like more so than other teams. And, you know, it starts with the backup goaltender. I mean, I think you and I talked before. I mean, Philip Grubauer last season, he had 23 starts, 56 potential points. He had 12 points out of those. They got 12 points out of his 23 starts last year, Jason. Yeah. Wow. Like, you don't have a chance. I mean, if Joey didn't play, you didn't have a chance. I mean, you guys think you had goaltending issues, and you do in the playoffs. We know that. But, like, that was an issue. The power play was abysmal. The defensive structure was non-existent. Players were frustrated. That's why they made a coaching change. I think you could make an argument with even average backup goaltending. If your number two goalie is just average, well, you increase your point total by 10. You missed it by 20. Well, is the coaching better? Yeah, it has to be. I think, first of all, you have guys that are more dialed into today's game. I use this analogy on my radio show all the time. I've used it on TV here. You know, Mike Holmgren is a Hall of Fame NFL coach. Mike Holmgren couldn't coach in today's National Football League. It's a different game. What you do to prep and prepare and the numbers you use, the analytics, what have you, is different than when Mike coached. Dan Bylsma was a great coach for a couple of years, 15 years ago. That wasn't what he was last year. I think Lambert gives them that. Chris Taylor, the assistant, will help the power play. You can make a lot of arguments, but I think what you said is true. You know, with a few injuries, they're in the McKenna sweepstakes. If they don't get, you know, and they've already had a couple, but if they play to their potential, they're probably going to be out of it. They'll have like a 1% chance to get that number one overall pick.
And honestly, like, I don't think it'll be a bad thing for them to do, but it's hard. I get it because it goes against their nature of competitive people. You don't go in to lose. I totally understand. And you can never ask the players to lose. You can. It's virtually impossible. But tell me about young Niemann. He leads the whole NHL in preseason, 4 goals. He's played 5 games. Obviously, he's played more than others, but still, he's got 4 goals. And I've talked to a lot of people who think, hey, this guy's somebody to watch in Seattle. What do you think of him?
Well, when he came up last year for a brief period of time, he was great. He easily has the best shot on the team among the forwards groups. It's not even close. He's the best finisher.
Okay.
He's got a lethal shot. You can't teach that. They told him what he needed to do in the offseason, and he did it. He came back. He's every bit of 6'4 and 215. Got himself in shape. He looks great. The skating is the question. He got benched for the final 12 minutes on Monday in the preseason game here against Calgary. He got benched for the final 10 minutes.
What?
It was Lane Lambert sending a message. I didn't like the fact there was, you know, wasn't enough compete, wasn't enough net front presence, and he put him on the bench, and he sat there, including overtime in the shootout. So a little message sent to him, but he's one of those guys that's got high-end ceiling here for them. I think the guy we're excited about, honestly, Jason, is Berkeley Catton.
Oh, God, he's a good player.
Yeah. And he played on the top line the other night. He's going to play on the top line tonight. He's going to play with Veneers and Eberle. And, he's a center in juniors. He's been a center in world juniors. But they've got him on the wing here because they've got a lot of centers on this team that are veterans. And so they got him playing on the wing. And, boy, when they freed him up to play on the wing the other night, he looks fantastic. His skating is above average. His playmaking, his vision, his hockey IQ, all those things that we talk about. He is a really good player. You know, it's interesting because a lot of people are like, are they going to keep him here? Like, there's nothing he can do in the dub. Like what else is he going to do? He's 19. He can't play in the American League, not until, you know, the rule changes hopefully next year. But so he's, I'm assuming, going to be here. Scored a goal the other night. If Beniers could have finished, he would have had about 3 assists in that game. I mean, he looks every bit the part. I'll be curious if you see the game tonight, what you think of him, because I think this kid's every bit an NHL player. You talk about McKenna. There's been a lot of these kids, McKenna, Celebrini, obviously Bedard, that have come into the league. And, you know, this kid is, he's got enough weight on him. He's got enough strength. I don't know why there's a question about him being in the NHL. Hell, Vancouver's looking at keeping Braden Cootes right now. Yeah. Like, okay. I mean, I like him and I worked with the T-Birds for a lot of years, so I'm partial to them. Braden Cootes isn't in the same category as Berkeley Catton. So watch him tonight. He's a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, he's a really good player, and I'm always cautious. Like, guys look great in preseason, then you get to the regular season, yep. Out to NHL guys, yep. And it is a big, big difference.
I absolutely know that. You know, I've been around the junior game long enough to know, like there's guys that are 18 and 19, and they're probably ready to be in the NHL. If nothing else, it's better for them to be up. I just think, you know, with Berkeley, I think. He wasn't number one overall, right? He wasn't number two overall. So there's this waiting period that you don't have to be a number one or number two guy to make an impact in the NHL. I think he's going to be here this year. I think you can manage the minutes. I think you can manage him. World Juniors, he'll be gone for 3 or 4 weeks and things like that. But I think he'll be here with this team this year. And I think within a couple of years, people will be talking about this guy around the league.
Ian, always good to catch up with you, buddy. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you throughout the season. Quickly, give me your thoughts on the Mariners and Cleveland or Detroit. Any preference?
Well, we've had that conversation a lot here. Real quick, I would say this: both teams, Seattle should handle. Neither team can hit at all, and Seattle's pitching staff is elite. So. You know, I think it should be a relatively quick series in the ALDS, no matter who wins the game tomorrow. They play the best of three, and they've decided tomorrow. I think the fun thing will be, is it going to be Toronto, or is it going to be Boston or New York in the ALCS? If it's Toronto, nice and spicy, huh? All the Canadians rolling into town. You know, I can't wait for that. Let's go.
Should be a lot of fun, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon, and have a great day.
Thanks, Jason. Talk care.